Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
Continuing in my series, One World Religion, One World Government, One World in Deception, we're looking at some events, current events, actually. We've looked at two so far that are really part of the building blocks that are helping to bring the false one world religion and the world one world government that are spoken of in the book of Revelation. We've been up till now looking at these events that have been influential towards creating Mystery Babylon, the great harlot, the false church, the false religion, I should say, that the Bible warns of us of in the book of Revelation. But at this point in my outline, we're going to be looking at a current event, actually two current events. I take that back. We'll be looking at a current event that recent current event that is helping to build this one world government. And then in a future podcast, we will look at a future podcast or podcasts. We'll be looking at another event, a New Age event, so that that would also be part of this whole process of creating what the Bible has already warned us is to come. So, forewarned is forearmed, so praise the Lord. I would ask once again for prayer. I would appreciate you to keep me in prayer concerning my ministry and general welfare. I think it, you know, it never hurts, right, to ask for prayer. Prayer is a good thing, and so if the Lord put you on my me on your mind, then please keep me in your prayers. Thank you so much. Now, this event that I wanted to report on actually is an article that I saw recently. I had already prepared my outline and for the numerous podcasts in this series that I was going to do, and then boom, I saw this article and I said, oh my goodness, look at the timing. And I have found that God will often do that. He will lead me to something that, you know, I realize, wow, I need to share that. I need to share that as part of my presentation. And this is just amazing that this came when it did. And it's the article was written and published in the New American, which, as you'll see later, I have another article from 1992 in that same magazine, and I was all lined up to comment on that and other materials. And so when I saw this, I thought, wow, these people are really faithful over there at that magazine to keep up on these type of things. So anyway, this article is commenting on an event known as the World Government Summit. What? The World Government Summit? Why, that sounds sort of like a world government. Yeah, right, like a one world government. So can they be a little more out there with that? I mean, no hiding it, right? We're not sneaking around with this one world government thing anymore, or at least the world government. But this article, at World Government Summit, Globalists Push the UN Agenda 2030. It's written by Alex Newman. And I want to read a little bit of this article before we move on to some of the other materials concerning this and other. This is a current event, of course, but there have been other similar events in history that have been taking place, just as there have been other events that have sought to bring forth all of the different false religions in the world in the past. So there's nothing new under the sun, but all of the building blocks, all the pieces continue to be put together over the years as we continue to keep an eye on what's taking place and keep an eye on the skies for the imminent return of our Lord to take us home. The blessed hope. Praise God. Now, top globalists are coming out of the closet. Thousands of leading globalists, communists, Islamists, and others from around the world converged on the Arabian Peninsula this month for the World Government Summit. Their goal, promote technocratic globalism and plot the future of what they often call their New World Order. Now, by the way, the Arabian Peninsula recently, the United Arab Emirates, was where Pope Francis went with the Grand Imam. Different situation, but a current event that I've been commenting on and read some articles about in the past. So very interesting, isn't it? This particular event convened on the Arabian Peninsula this month as well, which was last month in February. Senior officials from the United Nations, the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, the European Union, Communist China, central banks, and even the Trump administration showed up to mingle with heads of state and advocates of Islamic Sharia law from across the region. Even Pope Francis delivered a message. So I don't know how intertwined these things were, but I see them as two different events, as, at least so far as the Pope meeting together with the Grand Imam, of course, helping to move towards that one world religion thing, and then this particular event. But it appears that Pope Francis addressed this group as well. Now, why should we be surprised that the Pope, who is trying to help influence a one world religion, might also have his hand to help out here in this world government summit? Anyway, it says, as usual, despite top U.S. media outlets partnering with the summit, the establishment press in the United States largely failed to inform Americans about it. News releases promoting the World Government Summit, yes, it is really called the World Government Summit, boasted that the event is setting the agenda for the next generation of governments. And one of the key goals, and one of the key goals of the summit was advancing the implementation of the U.S. Sustainable Development Goals. You see that term sustainable a lot, and I've mentioned it a lot, often referred to as UN Agenda 2030. UN Deputy Secretary General Amina Mohammed, and by the way, I didn't know who the new UN Deputy Secretary General was, but it's Amina Mohammed, opened the summit by demanding that the radical UN scheme be implemented by avoid life-threatening consequences for billions of people. Huh. How about giving people the gospel to warn them of the implications of the devastation that's coming for billions of people, the life-threatening consequences for billions of people during the Great Tribulation? Of course, this woman needs to know Christ. Because she has a different agenda, because she doesn't know the Lord and what's really going to come and what's going to be behind all these things. The UN High Commissioner for the 2030 Agenda, Christina Gallach, echoed the hysteria. The UN goals, as this magazine has documented, include national and global wealth redistribution, government control over the economy, globalist indoctrination of all children, surrendering more sovereignty to global institutions, and much more. They are essentially a master plan for humanity, as UN bosses put it, to build a global technocratic government that would dominate every facet of human existence. Unsurprisingly, the mass-murdering communist dictatorship enslaving China boasted that it played a crucial role in developing the UN agenda, and dictators from around the world celebrated the plan as well. In an address delivered to the World Government Summit after signing a controversial agreement with a top Sunni Muslim imam, of course I mentioned that last week, Pope Francis, a fervent advocate of UN Agenda 2030, offered his best wishes for the work of summit attendees, urging cooperation to address the problems of each person in the global village. The Pope called for more environmentalism while using leftist rhetoric. Left-wing, rhetoric, to drive a wedge between people and capital and economic interests. Pope Francis also specifically promoted sustainable development, which is the ideology underpinning the UN Agenda 2030 Sustainable Development Goals that seeks to limit the human population and fundamentally transform civilization under the guise of saving the planet. The Pope's blessing of the World Government Summit was especially bizarre, considering that in 2017 the event took place under the shadow of a replica of the Roman Arch in front of the pagan temple of Baal, the monument to the demonic idol who is frequently referenced in the Bible. Originally stood in Palmyra, Syria, a city known in the Bible as Tadmor. Among other concerns, this false pagan god demanded child sacrifices and other horrors that outraged the God of the Bible. While a number of replicas were planned, the very first was prominently displayed at the 2017 World Government Summit, attracting fierce criticism and deep concern among religious scholars, especially in light of the world government motif. As in previous years, some celebrities showed up to lecture humanity about the alleged need to submit to global governance and sustainable development to supposedly save the planet from humanity. Actor Harrison Ford, for instance, went on a tirade against nationalism and isolationism after a bizarre segment in which he pretended to speak for nature. he said, "I'm the ocean," and you know, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time with this craziness, but I would just say he's a shallow ocean, if anything. Ford, a lifelong Democrat, also slammed President Donald Trump for allegedly denying science or climate change. Yeah, listen to Ford. A tirade against nationalism, of course, because he's a globalist, because he wants world government, and isolationism, and then, of course, denying climate change, science. All right, this is what this individual said. They are on the wrong side of history. According to UN Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change sea level reviewer Dr. Niles Axel Mohner, however, who resigned in disgust when the UN IPCC refused to correct its false information, the lies underpinning the man-made global warming hypothesis will inevitably be exposed. So this gentleman, he's on the right side of history, and he said, "I'm out of here." You know, he resigned in disgust, you know, when they refused to correct their false information. According to the prominent media partners of the World Government Summit listed on the website were the New York Times, the Financial Times, Bloomberg, CNBC, the fake news kingpins at CNN, Sky News, owned by the owner of Fox News, and many others. It was not clear how they were expected to maintain impartiality about the agenda while also sponsoring the summit. Arianna Huffington of the fringe left-wing website Huffington Post and CNN international anchor Becky Anderson even spoke there, along with other media personalities. But as usual, there was very little coverage of the event in American media, perhaps because top globalists tend to openly promote globalism in a way that would alarm the U.S. public and jeopardize the agenda. Of course, as leading globalist luminaries such as former U.S. Secretary of State Henry Kissinger have explained, regional governments such as the EU, the AU, that's the African Union, and more are a critical component of the globalist vision for the New World Order. That is why the EU, the U.S. government, and the Communist Chinese government have been pouring money into the AU, or the African Union, and other emerging regional governments. Even Russian strongman Putin is in the process of building a Eurasian Union as globalists in the U.S. pursue deeper integration of North America via NAFTA and the USMCA. Further from the article, aside from the major media outlets, big business partnered with the World Government Summit. Are the big businesses that partnered with the World Government Summit were MasterCard, KPMG, Deloitte, McKinsey & Company, and many other big business affiliates. Of course, I'm not familiar with a lot of these. These are probably international companies. A broad array of global governance institutions partnered with the World Government peddlers, too, including the UN, the IMF, the World Health Organization, the World Bank, the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, the World Trade Organization, the UN World Intellectual Property Organization, and more. Among the more than 4,000 participants from 140 countries were a number of high-profile Americans. Among those who spoke on stage were U.S. Energy Secretary Rick Perry, a Bilderberg attendee who announced a robotics competition from the stage. Let's see, skip through here. Daniel Kanowski, the deputy administrator of FEMA, was also there. Disgraced EPA boss Lisa Jackson from the Obama administration, who still serves on the disgraced Clinton Foundation board, was at the Globalist Summit as well. And former Trump Secretary of State Rex Tillerson's chief of staff, Margaret Petterlein, spoke too. While the establishment media keeps Americans divided and distracted with deception and frivolity, ignoring real news such as the World Government Summit, globalists are dropping the mask and coming out of the closet for all to see. It seems everyone is welcome in the emerging New World Order. Globalists, communists, Islamists, technocrats, big business, and more. Except patriotic Americans and Christian conservatives. Liberty-loving Americans must expose the subversive globalist agenda before it snuffs out liberty, prosperity, and Western Christian civilization worldwide. Isn't that something? We've been talking about all the, you know, the Parliament of World Religions and all the different religions welcome and all of them coming together. And here you have all these globalists. Everyone is welcome in this emerging New World Order. Globalists, communists, Islamists, technocrats, big business. Amazing times that we're living in, folks. Now, this is an article that is a few months earlier than that article. It in the American Thinker, it's called, or it's actually the American Thinker site. And the title is similar to the last. It's the UN wants to be our world government by 2030. And I want to read a little of that. Excuse all this reading, but I just, you know, I want to get this information out to you concerning the world government. I talk a lot about New Age and, you know, the all of the different interfaith operations and ecumenism and all the other stuff. But, you know, there's going to be a one world government, too. So I think it's good to address this. This article is by E. Jeffrey Ludwig. It says, in the 60s, an informed but naive undergraduate, I was walking across the campus of the University of Pennsylvania with the chairman of chemistry department, Professor Charles Price. He told me that he was president of the United World Federalists, and I asked if I knew what that organization was. When I said that I did not, he replied that they believed in a one-world government that would grow out of the United Nations. I was nonplussed, as I had never heard anyone suggest the idea before. And let me just pause there to say, the World Federalists, the United World Federalists, I have heard of them in the past. I was familiar with them in the past, and you know, some of their working towards a one-world government. And Jackie Alnor, you know, of Rapture Ready Radio, she recently posted an old interview or an old YouTube of Walter Cronkite. Those of you who are old enough to remember Walter Cronkite was one of the major talking heads of I think it was NBC, or maybe it was CBS, one of the major networks. And he was addressing the World Federalist Association. I think it was after he retired, but he was a out-of-the-closet globalist, you know, world federalist guy. And he was talking, you know, in this YouTube and talking about the attempts towards creating a new world order in that. You know, maybe at some point in time in the future, I might be able to share that in a future podcast. I don't know. But I remember that he was a globalist, but I was thankful that Jackie had shared that. You might want to look that up on YouTube. Very interesting. Walter Cronkite, he was a liberal. He used to say, and that's the way it is. But when it comes to his liberal politics and his globalism, that's not the way it is. That's the way it may become, but it's not going to stay for long because Jesus will return and destroy that mess. Anyway, I got to vent a little bit here every once in a while. The article goes on to say, to me, the United Nations was a benevolent organization dedicated to pressuring the world community in the direction of peace and to operating charitable programs to help the struggling, impoverished peoples of the world. I imagine the UN as a kind of united way on a worldwide scale. How would Professor Price's vision of a new world government emerge? Although there was a socialistic thread in its founding document, the United Nations was formed based on a vision of human rights presented in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which placed the concept of rights at the forefront for the progress of the world body. goes on to say, the word rights appears in almost every sentence of the 1,869-word UN document. The document is literally obsessed with rights, and one must assume they are likely obsessed with the rights' successes as manifested in the United Kingdom, the US, and France. The article goes on, in 2015, 70 years after the original rights-based document, the UN took a giant step towards the global government that was only hinted at in their first organizing document. They issued a document entitled Transforming Our World the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development. There's that word again. What is meant by the term sustainable? The most often quoted definition comes from the UN World Commission on Environment and Development. Sustainable development is development that meets the needs of the present without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their own needs. The earlier ideas and ideals of rights, freedom, equality, and justice are subsumed under meeting of needs and an explicit environmentalism which emphasizes preventing the depletion of scarce planetary resources. Of course, the takeoff is the Marxist axiom that society should be organized around the idea of from each according to his ability to each according to his needs. Thus, Marxism is implicit in sustainability, but is nuanced by its alliance with seemingly scientific adjustments and goals related to environmentalism. A technical jargon is welded to Marxist intentionality to produce a sense of fittingness and modern progress. The entire Transforming Our World document is cast in a stream of consciousness of pious platitudes for a utopian future. It is an outsized utopian dream. 5 of the 17 items pertain to the environment. There are goals for the cities, for women, for the poor, for even for life under the water. Absolutely no sphere of human activity is exempt from control by the UN. Finally, the last few couple of chapters, the one worlders of the 1950s and early 60s are now in the UN driver's seat, and they have made their move. The overlay of Marxist talk about meeting needs has moved to center stage. The UN has assigned itself a time frame for moving forward in its plan for planetary hegemony. This projected transformation detailing, yet without details, a new world order of environmental responsibility and a significant reduction of poverty and hunger never speaks to the practical dimension of vast manipulations of people by cynical leaders and ignorant bureaucrats who hold their positions through terrorism and bribery. They never discuss incompetence and corruption, twin brothers in the family of venality. The document portrays a sincere world where all those in power want to help humanity despite the daily evidence of the selfishness, corruption, murderous intents, devilish manipulations, thefts, personal immoralities, hatreds, and utter depravity of many government leaders in every country of the world. Sounds like Romans chapter 1 or the last day's description in Timothy or the book of Revelation, doesn't it? And among the leaders of business as well. Is not the agenda for sustainable development itself one of those devilish manipulations? The sustainability ideal is not wedded to a Christian worldview. Instead, individual liberty is submerged in a scientifically determined collectivist mindset with final decisions in the hands of the devilish, all-knowing big brothers. The relevance of the individual is downplayed. It is being put forward by a UN that is no longer pro-Western, a much larger body than existed in 1945. Will you accept it, or is it time, more than ever before, to begin rethinking our membership in that unsustainable body? Amen to that. Great article, I thought, as well as the other. Now, you know, when it comes to climate change and these world government climate change summit type groups, I mentioned earlier that I have an article from the New American about such thing, and this was the UN Earth Summit, Rio and Beyond, in 1992, I believe it was, some time ago, the Earth Summit. And I just had the thought that, you know, these world government climate change summits, they remind me of that movie, The Groundhog Day, the comedy. I don't know if any of you saw that, with Bill Murray. You know, these summits, they just keep reoccurring every few years. You know, just like Bill Murray in this movie, he was caught in this time loop of his life, and he kept coming back to that same place again, you know. And that's what these things remind me, you know, that these gatherings, they keep coming forward. They're building blocks, you know, because mankind in his arrogance and his ignorance thinks that he's going to save the planet and he's going to do it his way. You know, he's going to do it the Burger King way. I'll have it my way, right? My own comment is the difference is that one day these gatherings will build the foundation for the Antichrist's brief reign of one world government and one world religion. It's like they're on this loop, And it's always about the environment, climate change, and I'll have a lot more to say about that and in the upcoming podcasts. I still have a little bit of time. I'm going to try to get into the article I just mentioned, this older article, which is, again, was in the New American Magazine, so good for them. I don't know if you can find this article. I tried to find it online, and I couldn't actually find this article that I've saved all these years. But good article. I'll see how far I can get with this. all right. Critics of the approaching United Nations Earth Summit in Brazil have characterized it as an environmental Woodstock, while supporters have cast it as humankind's last chance to save the planet. That was in 92. Others see it as little more than a photo opportunity for green posturing politicians and heads of state, or a global confab for environmentalist windbaggery. I couldn't have said it better myself. I like that. You know, we all know what a windbag is, right? That the much ballyhooed summit, known officially as the United Nations Conference on Environment and Development, or UNCED, will provide an unprecedented global media platform for militant anti-capitalist, anti-American eco-propaganda goes without saying. You know, some things never change, right? You know, you heard the comments I was quoting Harrison Ford from this most current, most recent event, the World Government Summit, and a lot of windbaggery going on there, you know, but anti-capitalist, militant anti-capitalist, anti-American, eco-propaganda. The UNCED Preparatory Committee sessions over the past 2 years have produced such a stream of heated fulminations directed at America's alleged crimes against the environment that their hysterical predictions on global warming have nearly become self-fulfilling prophecies. But if the great gathering of the Greenies in Rio de Janeiro during the first 2 weeks of June were only about Sierra Clubbers, socialists, and third world malcontents venting hot air and appealing for a new earth ethic, there would be little cause for serious concern. The next segment of the article, not just a media event. However, the Earth Summit is much, much more than a grandiose media event for Disaster Lobby International and the Worldwide Church of Green Theology. The summit planners have a full plate agenda of concrete objectives that present a clear and present danger not only to Americans, but to every inhabitant of planet Earth. Media attention thus far has focused primarily on progress toward completion of UN agreements on global warming, ozone depletion, and a so-called Earth Charter. You know what? I'm going to start next week at that point where I just started this, you know, this other part of this article,